The following episode is a rebroadcast of our original YouTube podcast series. If you like what you hear, stay tuned for new episodes coming in 2021 with a new format and special guest interviews and much more behind-the-scenes info, along with paranormal news and updates of our research and investigations. And, without any further ado, I hope you enjoy this rebroadcasted episode of the CAPS podcast, and hope you will like, subscribe, and share our upcoming episodes of Whispers from the Dark. Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Cryptids, Anomalies, and Paranormal Society podcast. I am your host, Barnaby, and today I am joined by one of my investigators, Derek. How are you tonight, Derek?
I'm doing all right.
Cool. So, Derek, I don't think that I've actually, you haven't gone on an investigation, or I haven't really talked to you since November, I think, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, because I think the last thing we did was when we retrieved the last trail cam down in Burlington with you.
Yep.
And that other paranormal investigation. But I think that was the last time that we were together, huh?
We did that, and we also went to What About Linda's, too.
Yep, that's the paranormal investigation I was talking about.
I only did, like, here and there with my video footage, but I didn't do the watch.
No? So what have you been up to? What have you been up to since the last time we talked?
Well, I've been working at my normal job, but also trying to get cases set up for my group.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Been working on that. I'm going to be training a new investigator for my group soon.
So, I think we've talked about, like, on the show, but what is your group?
It's called Ghost Hunters of Appleton. I started it off in Appleton when I used to live there, and then when my mom passed away, I had moved down to Fond du Lac, so, yeah, I've been in Bobby for a while now.
You've been in Fond du Lac for a while, yeah. Yeah, it's been a couple years now, but...
Yeah.
But your group is Ghost Hunters of Appleton, and of course I know that, but for the people listening. And you got your own Facebook page with that too, right?
Yes, I do.
Yep. So for anybody that's looking for specifically paranormal, you can either message, you know, the CAPS team, and I forward all that stuff to Derek. You can go to WisconsinCAPS.com or what is it, CAPS, Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society on Facebook. Or if you want to message Derek directly instead of going through the whole thing, you can go to Ghost Hunters of Appleton, and me and Derek and Simon are all on that page, so. Did you know that? Do you know Simon's in your group?
When did that happen?
I don't know. I was looking at it yesterday when you changed the spelling and stuff on it, and I was looking at the members, and Simon's in our group.
I don't know why she was on my group page.
Yeah, she's been on there for a while, so. But yeah, anyway, Simon's another one of our investigators. Simon went and did the Sheboygan Asylum investigation with us. But anyway, yeah, so Simon's on your team, too, in case you didn't know.
Oh, I can look at that.
That's how much you pay attention to your own group, man.
I think I remember, but I just don't pay attention often, which I should.
Well, I don't know. This is kind of interesting. I mean, like, I know we talked about what we were going to talk about tonight, but why don't we just stay on this topic? I mean, so where all has your group gone? I mean, like, obviously the CAPS team. Your group has been around longer than the CAPS team has.
Yep.
When did you actually start your group?
Back in, I think, 2007 or 6. I can't remember which year.
Okay. So it's been about 13 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think I've been part of it for, I don't know, most of it, but I don't know when I actually came on with you. But we've known each other since 2003.
Yep.
But we've only started paranormal investigating together probably in 2015?
I think so.
Yeah, when we started doing the misery stuff.
Yep.
Well, no, we had that one case, that school, the guy's house that was an old church or a school or something, and he was remodeling. That was up by Green Bay, De Pere area.
I don't think I was there with that one, though.
You got the case, and I was doing all the research on it and stuff, but the night we were supposed to go, it got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
But that, I think, was the first case that I worked on with you, but...
Yeah, I've been having cases ever since then come up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was, so, I know you guys did, I didn't get to go on that one, but I know you guys did the, Time Community Theater in Oshkosh.
Oh, that was an interesting case.
Yeah? What all did you have happen there?
When the guy gave us a tour, gave us access to everywhere from, like, the old production room all the way down to the basement. And when we were going on tour, we got up to the old projection room where I saw a wheelchair pushed back to the bookcase before we did anything. And during the course of the night, I didn't hear anything. I went back up there to look. The wheelchair was pushed away from the, like, forward, away from the bookcase, and no one was up there to move it.
Floor's not slanted or anything?
I went up to ask if anybody was around it, and no one answered me. Had an investigator in the basement. One was walking around by the bathrooms where I smelled a woman's perfume, which is quite interesting. I never smelled it before then. It was just like a quick odor, then it went. So in other words, a phantom smell came in to play that day. And then I heard footsteps above me on the balcony. I kept getting cold spots. Other interesting cases to talk about, too.
Now, I know that we had talked about taking the CAPS team to redo the Time Community Theater, but you said that you reached out to them guys, huh?
Huh?
I said you said that you had reached out to them but didn't get an answer back.
I haven't gotten an answer back yet. I reached out to them, but they haven't gotten back to me yet. I don't know if they've been busy with stuff or...
Now, they got a lot going on there. They,
I also have another theater that got contacted, and I looked at their history. It's quite interesting. He sent me a lot of things about their stuff there, too. The footsteps, books coming out their shows, lots of thorough actually going on.
Poltergeist activity? What's that?
And that... Years in Ashland, and I did some research on it, and there's a lot of issue to it. So the activity he told me about was interesting.
Ashland.
So I did some local cases here around Fond du Lac as well.
Yeah?
Which is quite interesting. One house we went to, there were three boys, three little boys. The youngest one was just freaking out. I did not want to, I was having problems sleeping, did not like it because he was getting freaked out. So I took my thermometer up to the room. So we set everything up. I went up to the room to do a temperature check. I went to the middle of the room. Everything was fine. I went to a cross. It went to 66.6 degrees.
Huh.
I am not kidding. That was some interesting stuff. I don't know what was going on. We had a blue orb that appeared on my footage. And then... we heard a thud. We don't know where it came from. And then the client's husband drew a picture that was not human.
Drew a picture?
Yeah, it had a sketch that he made for us to look at, and the thing looked evil to the core.
Huh. So this was a family's house?
Yeah, private residence.
Yep.
So I went to one that same night, and then the client from the first house told me about her daughter's place being haunted, so I went there the same night.
Huh.
Two cases in one night.
Wow.
And I get cases quite often when I expect it. And right now I'm trying to see if I'm going to be doing one here in town again. Just waiting to see what's going on with that. So I'm waiting for them to get back to me with that one. And I'm still waiting for other cases to come through, so.
Now, I know you also contacted the Grand Opera House in Oshkosh, and we were looking at going into there, and you heard back from them, but I don't know if we're going to be able to work out a deal to get in there, so.
Okay. I do a lot of my research based on the Shadowlands on that and see what there's around, and I can always, I look for email addresses, too.
Right, yeah. You know, again, if people are interested in contacting you, what's your email, Derek?
You could email me at derektabutabu@gmail.com.
Right, cool.
I can look at it personally.
Sounds good. Or you can send an email to Wisconsin Caps and Paranormal Investigation in the subject line, or just Attention Derek, and we can forward it on to you, too. And you can submit a report on our website, and I'll get it over to Derek, too. So, I mean, the CAPS team does a lot of... the whole point of the CAPS team is to look for connections, you know? And
answers, in other words.
What's that?
Answers, in other words.
Yeah. Things that all go together, you know? How is all these phenomenons connected? Excuse me. But... we do also do, you know, private residences or other stuff, you know, like you do. So if you have any encounters or anything, go to our website, and it says right on the homepage is a button to click to submit a report. You can submit your encounters, or if you're having problems at your house or anything like that, shoot it to us on there, and I'll get it over to Derek, and, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, on the show or anything like that. It's just part of the, just an investigation, if that makes sense.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. So if you don't want to be on the show, but you're interested in having somebody come out and check out something you got going on, I mean, we're all down for that, too. We keep everything confidential and everything, but...
So does my group.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm part of your group, too, so...
Sorry.
So, I know you got quite a few people. How many other people that aren't part of CAPS do you got on your team?
I'll say, basically, around 70 members, but some... not that many people from CAPS are on there, but I have a good amount of people. If I need somebody, I can always rely on somebody to come along for an investigation or whatnot if I need them.
Mm-hmm.
I keep in contact with them through Facebook, or if I have a phone number, I can either text them and let them know what's going on.
Now, is
always looking for members, too, so.
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you looking for more people to join your paranormal group, people that are more interested in just...
I'm looking for people also to join if they want to. That's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk to them and see what their experiences are and see what they have to bring to the team, and so I know what to expect.
Right on, man. Now, if somebody wanted to be a part of your team, do they need experience?
Not really, because I can train them on my tools I have.
You have tools that they use then, too, or just your own?
I have mine, but I have another investigator. If he comes to a case, he can bring his tools. He has a spirit box, a couple EMF detectors, a camera. So, he can help a lot with that. So.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's been on any episodes yet, but we actually picked up a REM pod for the CAPS. And I'm kind of more interested in seeing, like, getting that out here in the paranormal field and seeing what we can do with that.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I know you'd been interested in bringing it on some of your cases, too, and I have no problem with that, but, you know, you got to let me know when you want to go.
Let's try to do that. I love the paranormal. It just intrigues me. It doesn't really scare me. It just more intrigues me enough why and how it's happening.
Yeah.
And what. And what's causing it. I'm trying to figure out an answer. If I can't figure an answer that's causing it, or if it's easy to, bunk or not, it's hard to help.
So,
if you tried debunking, you can't, then you have to prove it's haunted somehow. With a lot of other stuff, too.
Say that again. If you can't debunk it, you gotta what?
Prove it that I guess if you can't debunk it, then it's just a claim that solidifies the client's claims on what's going on with that particular area.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And I know I had a case up in Appleton where on my DVR I have footage of two fluid legs walking, like there's almost pushing up because you know, like walking fluidly in front of my camera.
Yep.
And it was none of my investigators. I looked that footage over and over again. I could not debunk it. I know it wasn't my client, and it was just weird. I don't know where that came from, but why it happened, but it was
so,
just strange.
So we talked about the Time Community Theater and some private residences. Where else have you done on your own that I didn't get to go on? Someplace interesting?
I did the Vermonta Plaza just to walk around myself before I got eight, just with one or two pieces of equipment. And I had a couple spikes. And I had a EVP at the hotel here in Fond du Lac, which was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. What happened there?
Well, I had a recorder going, and I asked if anything was with me. I had the recorder going, walking up and down the third floor, and I got by the haunted room. And I kept getting this real uneasy feeling, so I pulled out my EMF detector, it spiked to, I think, a 1.5 to a 2.0. And when I walked away, it went back to being flat.
You don't think that's a wiring in the wall or anything? Or?
I don't know, but room 717 in the Retlaw Hotel here in Fond du Lac is the most haunted room of all the hotel alone. And I got an EVP back, a response back, when I was doing the EVP session talking about Mr. Schrader, who was the guy who founded the hotel originally. I told him it was a nice hotel, it was beautiful, and I got the answer back saying, indeed, which was not my voice.
Hmm.
And then, when I looked back where I walked by a room, and you can hear a female saying hi really quick into my microphone, which was 2 feet away from me. I don't know, I went up on the third floor.
Hmm.
Which I can't explain that either.
That's cool.
I could, but I can't.
That's cool.
It was cool.
So where was your favorite place to investigate you've gone so far?
So far, the best place I've been to at a clear blue would be the Time because it's so old. The architecture is so old, and you can tell it's just so lovely in there, but it's so old fashioned. You can see the old projection room, the old theater screen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate the old theaters when you see stuff like that, and you know something's up in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in there for their shows and stuff. For anybody who doesn't know, we're talking about the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh. It's right downtown, and it used to be an old movie theater. And it got abandoned or closed or whatever and basically run down. And they were doing theater shows and stuff in there for a little while, just like community plays and that. And it was up for sale for many years. And I think it was probably 2010, 2012, somewhere in there, that this group came in and started running it for just the weekends. They did Friday night horror movies, old black and whites, you know, Godzilla and, you know, yeah, all the classic horror movies and stuff in there. And they'd be free. You know, you go in, you buy a soda, you buy some popcorn just to help raise the money. And it's kind of grown from there. They're trying to fix up the theater. They've done a lot of renovations. They've fixed up the screen and everything. They've put back in the seating because the floor seating down on the main floor was all ripped out for a long time. They had taken that out, and now they've putting it all back in. I think it's all got, like, some new carpet and everything, and it's pretty nice. And now they do Friday and Saturday nights. I don't remember if Fridays are still the free movies, but Saturdays are, like, $3, and you can go watch. I mean, The Labyrinth is coming up. They do Goonies. They do Rocky Horror Picture Show, where you can throw the rice, and it's the interactive and stand-up and the sing-along and everything. They just had a, a comedian in there a couple weeks ago?
Yeah,
do you know
Pauly
that?
Shore.
Yeah, Pauly Shore. He was just down there. So they got a lot of stuff going on in there. I don't know why we're promoting it, but yeah, you go on Facebook and look up Time Community Theater for anybody in Wisconsin or around Oshkosh and check it out. It's really good. My haunted house actually sponsored it for a couple years from when I first opened in 2012 and 2013. So we had the big, before the show, our name and stuff was up on the screen and stuff like that. So that's why I know so much about it, but yeah. Yeah, it's a really cool place.
That was one of the best places I like to work with you because it's just so amazing how big that place is. It's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely got history. A lot of Oshkosh has history.
I was doing that vacation at time. I was going to look behind the screen. Me and another visitor were going to look behind the screen, and we heard like someone stomp on the ground like 2 feet in front of us. Like an angry stomping. like, what are you doing back here? Like a big thud. And no one was in front of us. And I put my thermometer in there, and that thing got cold quick.
Up on the stage, you mean?
Yeah, behind the screen. I was like, holy crap. And I'm like, okay. And I'm sure you heard a thud, but okay. I didn't hear that wheelchair move either until I went upstairs and I saw it move away from the book. I seen it out the way from, like, away from the bookcase. I remember when we went on tour, we left it alone until we ordered the disturbance, and then it came back up. It went away from the bookcase. I can't explain that. I wish I could, but I can't. So, yeah.
So, we'll continue along with our paranormal and stuff like that. So, like I said, I think we had done a couple investigations or something together prior to that, but we really started working together on this stuff with the weird paranormal and that when you started working at my haunt. And we went out to Misery, and we had a lot of weird stuff go on out there.
Yeah, shadow play.
Yeah.
A class 8 EVP of a little girl saying that she was, like, said scary or I'm scared or both.
Yeah, we actually got 3 EVPs. The main one that's on the episode, or the main two that are on the episode is scary, I'm scared, and there was a third one that when I went back and reviewed it, and I can't remember what that one said.
Oh, wow.
But it was something along the same lines of scared or... Yeah, I don't remember. It was after when we walked back out of that hallway and back into where the queue line area was.
Okay.
It was right there when we were heading out towards laser tag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember when we were having our after party for the haunt, I took a picture of the catwalks. When I took the picture, everything was fine until the picture came. When I got the picture back on my phone, it was misted, and in that mist, you could see like a little empty looking down at me from the catwalk. Like she was looking down, looking at me. I showed you that picture.
Yeah, so. You did. Yep.
I can't explain where she came from because that was not there when I took the picture. Because before I took the picture, I was looking around the catwalk to see if I see anything out of the ordinary, and then when I snapped the picture, that's when she came out with the picture. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that mist came all around that picture either.
Yeah, that was definitely a weird building. And I don't know why. It's got to be something connected with it or connected to something in it, because we looked up the whole history of the building and the land and everything, and there was no nothing odd. Nobody died there. Nobody, you know, like historically, there was a fire associated with the company, but not the building, because the original building burnt down and they built a new, the current building, down the road. It's not even the same property. And a lot of people thought it was, but those are two separate buildings. So the fire, and the fire, I don't even think ever killed anyone because the building was closed at the time, but it's just weird. There's got to be something in the building that has a connection to something.
Yeah, but why would we get a little girl with a voice on our recording, which I don't understand either.
I don't know. There's been other investigators in that building, too, that have said that there's a little girl in there. But
yeah, but why would she show up? Unless there's something, like a toy or something that she was associated with stuck in there somewhere. Like that Barbie doll or something. I don't know.
Could be. That
Barbie doll just sitting there on the cabinet. That's weird.
I always thought that little, like, quarter merry-go-round, you know, like you used to see outside of, like, department stores and grocery stores, the little kiddie ride, that thing always kind of felt to me like something was attached to it.
That could be, too. Who knows?
Yeah, we never really had any interaction there with stuff, but
I know we had a shadow up by where Howard Chambers used to be, by the garage room up in Howard Chambers. That shadow we saw, me and you saw it. I don't think your mom saw it. I think it was just me and you.
She saw something out in the other room because she came running into that room when we were up there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on the episode. Me and you are standing looking down the garage. And she was over in, I can't remember, the Frank March, or James March room.
And I remember you asked her if that was her. And I can hear her saying no. And then, that's right when we saw that shadow, you asked if it was her. Because if it was her shadow, you would have seen it. It was, if it was her shadow or not. The shadow, to me, it looked like it was transparent, but it can see right through it.
Yeah.
In a sense.
There was a lot of shadows at that place.
I seen a little kid peeking around the corner. I was helping move stuff.
Yep, I saw that out there too.
I saw it twice. Like it saw me jerk back, and then I came back around the corner. It was on the other, side of the other fire hallway, looking back at me again. It like went the other way. It kept on playing peekaboo both ways. Hmm. To me, it looked like a little girl just popped her head out to see what was going on, and she got scared and jerked back.
Mm-hmm. And Becky on the episode says she had a similar incident down in the pet store where a little, a child-sized person pulled back the curtain of the doorway and looked at her.
Mm-hmm.
So you have not even just the image of someone.
Did you hear something happened also by, like, where she was being, like her and your mom was being touched or something like that, poked or whatever?
Yeah, in that room.
But that place was just creepy in general, from just the sound, from just the looks from the outside to the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we thought we saw Dan walking down that one hall,
mm-hmm.
going towards his office.
Yeah, and then nobody was down there.
Walking, but we looked everywhere and we couldn't find them.
That's which when we got that EVP.
Which we don't know where we don't know who it was or why they were there.
Yeah, I wish we could have got that on video because I think my video was aimed more out towards laser tag and my head had turned and saw it, and that's when I turned the camera because I don't have the person on camera or the silhouette or whatever. But then I looked down there and we're videotaping it, and then when we walked down there, that's when we got the little girl on the EVP.
Mm-hmm. That place in Yerwood just is so creepy.
Mm-hmm.
We had more time to take that building all over again.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get back in there.
I don't know. Well, I also saw like a freaking bright light in the sky. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, that happened this week or on and off, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I remember one time I was over at my friend's house, we were outside looking at it, and I was like, okay, this is good. Then I went back to look at it, it was as high as the roof, and I looked back at it again, it was completely gone.
No cloud cover?
No cloud cover whatsoever. It was a clear night.
Hmm.
It looked like it just faded out and like disappeared and never wanted to come back. And then I remember we saw something like that, but it was during the day when we were doing stuff for wrestling back in the day near my old house in Appleton.
Yeah.
Which, you can remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but back to your light in Fond du Lac there, you saw that a couple times this past week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sent me pictures and video of this thing. So,
and I tried looking at the star charts. I tried looking up and see where, really sure what it was.
Yeah.
I tried doing, like, I went on the website to look for a star chart, and I had a compass thing where it was on the star chart, but it wasn't matching up to anything I've seen.
Yeah, I checked that too against what you sent me, and I couldn't find anything in that area either at the time. Nothing that bright, at least.
I didn't see anything, but it didn't look like a plane either because it was so way orange, like really bright orange almost. And it just faded away, like it was like, okay, one minute and gone the next.
So,
I wish I knew what that was, but it was just weird.
And that's not the first time we saw something down there, because the night that we were filming one of the Urban Legend things, me and you and Fathom, we were dropping you back off in Fond du Lac, and we had a weird light in the sky above Fond du Lac that night as well.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was kind of a flashing light. Like, usually the stars are just white. But this one...
didn't flash that much.
This one was like, if anybody knows what a RGB LED light is, it's literally three little lights of red, blue, and green. And when all three are turned on, it turns the white light, or the light white. And that's how you get the coloring of these LEDs. But you can also power the single lights to make it either a red or a blue or any combination. That's how you get all the colors. And that, to me, is what you were looking at in the sky was when you zoomed in to take a picture of it, you had three distinct colors that made up the white.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I've never seen a star like that that kind of twinkled and flashed. And I got the video of this. I got pictures of this one from the night that we were all out there. And... then we got the pictures that you took the night this past week and stuff too, but all this seems to be happening. Now this is all to the east, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Southeast of Fond du Lac, kind of towards Sheboygan area?
Something like that, but I was looking at my friend's door of his apartment, and that's when I saw it again. It was like, I'm like, okay, and I'm looking around for clouds. I'm like, there's no clouds, and when it disappeared, it just disappeared.
Yeah.
There was no cloud coverage whatsoever that night.
And the one that we all saw together, that one, it went behind clouds, but it also seemed like it had disappeared prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just gone in an instant. It didn't zoom away, it just turned off almost.
Yeah.
So
I can't explain that light I saw in the sky because it moved for a second and it'll stop and just hover.
But you did notice that it was moving.
Huh?
You noticed it actually moving though?
Very little. Like very subtle movement, like very, very little movement. You can't really, you can see, but it's not like a fast one, it's very, very, very slow.
Hmm. Could be a trick of the eye though too.
Really slow to move a snail.
See, you and Fathom thought that the one that we saw was moving, and I couldn't be sure. I couldn't tell you for sure if that thing was moving or not, but it, you know, you're looking up at the sky, you got clouds kind of flowing around, you got, you know, twinkling. You can't be sure that you're looking at something that far away is moving or not unless it's moving at a pretty good clip.
When I saw this, I thought it was just a regular star or just a bright granite that showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it did not look like either. Because if a planet stays out there, I know when I'm out there looking at the sky, I tend to look at Venus, which stays out there longer than anything throughout the whole night. It doesn't disappear. It just stays there.
Yep.
This was there maybe for a good 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then boom, gone.
Hmm.
And I still can't. My friend sent me a video, and I'm trying to figure this out. It was not like a regular twinkling of a star. It was like quick flashes, like
yep,
crazy.
Yeah.
And I looked for any kind of way that can. It didn't look like a helicopter because I didn't see any strobe lights on it. It wasn't an airplane because I didn't see any wings on it.
Now, I'm going to tell you something that one of my friends is really big into airplanes at work. And we were walking out of work. This was Thursday night. And I pointed out a star to him that was twinkling kind of similar to the way that the three of us saw back. Okay. I think this was September. And he told me that was an airplane that was far away enough that you couldn't make it out. Because, you know, light travels so far. Obviously, you know, stars you can see for billions of miles and stuff. But because light travels so far, you're seeing this airplane coming straight at you.
Okay.
I don't know, because he told me we're oh, excuse me. We work out by the Appleton Airport, kind of. And we have planes flying over all day, every day, like, you know, right above our building. You can walk outside.
You can hear them.
Oh, yeah, you can hear them at our work. But this plane, when you're standing outside our building, typically these things are coming southeast to northwest across our property. And this thing that we were looking at on Thursday night was coming southwest towards me. And, so it's coming the opposite way. And he said that this plane could be coming in and then would take a wide circle around our building and kind of turn around because the runways make an X for the Appleton Airport. And the ways that they are, this plane would be coming straight across and would have to come around and circle it to come in to make a landing. So he said if I stood there and waited for a half hour, it would probably turn into a plane. Now, I was leaving work, and I didn't want to stand there for a half hour and watch this thing because it was pretty cold. But I did keep an eye on it all the way home, and I could still see it out the back window of my house. So I don't know. I never did end up watching it till it came to fruition, but it seemed like it was going to be farther away than
what I saw. It moved, but it stopped moving and just stayed hovering for like a good while. And it was brighter than God knows what. It was brighter than any other star I've seen in the sky that night.
Yeah, what time of night was this?
This was, the first time I saw it was on a Thursday, and it was around, I think, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, is when I looked up, because me and my friend were walking back from Chinatown Kitchen. We're coming down Main Street, then we went down Johnson, and we're coming down Main Street, we got to Johnson Street, we turned down Johnson to get towards my street, we both looked over towards the Johnson Street Bridge, and that's when I seen this light above. Just hanging in the sky.
So towards Walmart or towards downtown?
Because I didn't see any. Usually I can hear them reply and I could see little dots of sky move because I know the airplane, but I know the strobes on the wings, but there was nothing like this at the time of night, at 9 o'clock at night.
So when you're looking at...
airport and bottleneck, but I don't think airplanes fly out of there that late at night.
They could, but they'd only be little. What? I said they could, but they're usually little, not the big passenger planes. You get a lot of air traffic out of the Fond du Lac Airport. And you got EAA a couple miles away, too.
If I didn't see anything like that ever, I mean, I walked outside to do something or just look at the night sky. I've never seen anything like that before.
Now, you also were telling me earlier that you looked up online for UFO sightings in the area, and you said you found something too?
I found something that was similar, but in a different town.
Oh, okay. Nearby or no?
I think it was in Jamesmore somewhere, I think. I don't remember the exact town. But this person said that they saw like an orange ball of light, which stayed there for a good hour to 2 hours, like what I saw.
Yeah?
So I'm thinking, if you can see it in Janesville, I can see it here.
Janesville would be down, you know where Burlington is, right?
Yeah.
It's closer to Burlington.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then why would this be here in Fond du Lac if they can see the same thing in Janesville?
Well, if it's, I don't know. It depends how big it is. I mean, like, you can walk outside and look at Venus, and so can I. Right now.
I know what Venus looks like, but that was not what Venus looks like.
I know, I'm just saying. So if this was a star, then you and Janesville would be able to see the same star. I'm not saying it's a star. So if it's not a star, I don't know. It could have traveled.
It wasn't twinkling like a star. It was more like a blinking light, like a, you know, like blink, stop, blink, stop, blink, stop, blink, stop. Like every so often, you know, like do it in intervals. Like I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and then the last one I saw was when it was above a different, like a roof across the way, across the field from where my friend lives. We were watching it. I kept going back out to see what was going on. It was above the roof, and second thing, I go back out there, it was completely gone.
Hmm.
And then, like, 2 nights later, it showed back up again. Out of clear blue.
Hmm.
I don't know what the deal is with the thing. I don't know if it's a UFO, or...
You know what's interesting, Derek? You have, the Kettle Moraine Northern Unit is just south of Fond du Lac, which would kind of be over where you're saying this stuff is coming from.
But you can hear that, the clear blue, that the first time I saw it on Thursday night, was weird. I was like, okay. I looked at every star in the sky. I couldn't even match anything up with it. I saw Venus. That's all planet I saw that night, because the other ones were not out yet.
Yep.
What I read.
Mm-hmm.
Other planets come out at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
Venus comes out at night at all times. But you can see Venus with the naked eye. It's easy to see what Venus looks like compared to what I saw.
Yeah, Venus this week is the brightest it'll be all year.
Yeah, because Venus is like the closest planet to the planet Earth at the moment.
I don't know about that. I know it's the third brightest.
Venus, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and then Mars is right after.
Okay. Yeah, Venus is the third brightest thing in the sky right now this week.
Yeah, but I don't know. This did not look like any other planet that I've ever seen with the naked eye. It was just weird.
You know, there's been weird stuff going on with Betelgeuse this week.
Really?
Yeah. But Betelgeuse would be part of Orion, that belt. So you would have two other stars with it.
I think Betelgeuse is maybe in the top right or top left corner in the constellation. I can't remember where.
Isn't it one of the belt stars?
I think he might be. I don't know exactly where I think. Maybe, I think. I can't remember offhand. Well, I wonder what they're about Betelgeuse doing weird stuff.
Seven stars of Venus. I am looking it up.
Okay.
What are the stars in Orion's belt? Oh, I don't want to subscribe. That was unhelpful. All right, well, while I'm looking this up, though, no. So, in astronomy lately, Beetlejuice has been fading and getting dimmer and dimmer, and it's always been one of the brightest stars in our sky. And now recently it's been fading and fading, and only this week did it stop fading and start getting bright again. So, I don't know, that's interesting. I mean, that's going on. And I think also this week they said that they just witnessed a star exploding from, you know, billions of years ago, that the light finally just got to us.
Okay.
So that's going on up there too. But, you know, I'm not saying any of this stuff is what we're seeing, but, you know, it could be. Oh, I was wrong. Beetlejuice is actually his shoulder that he's pulling the arrow back. Not the bow. It would be What?
Maybe his left shoulder or
his right shoulder, I believe. Because you're looking at the front of him, it would be his right shoulder.
Okay.
Is Beetlejuice. Yeah.
Always impressed me with astronomy.
Yeah, I'm starting to get more and more. I only know a few things. I grew up in the city, you know, like Appleton, and you couldn't really see the sky. And now I live in Neenah, and from my house to one of my friend's houses, we go over there for a fire sometimes, and he lives, you know, 2 minutes away from me. And the sky is just so much clearer over there. And you can see, that's the first time I ever saw the Big Dipper, was in his backyard. And I just looked up and it was right there, just huge in the sky.
You also saw the Big Dipper at Boy Scout Lane at one time or another.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool out there too.
Yeah, that whole thing of Boy Scout Lane was just interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's a topic for another day, man. But, so, this has been fun chatting with you tonight. We're going to have to do this again pretty soon here. But, yeah. So, again, to wrap up everything we talked about, I mean, like, you got your Ghost Hunter group and stuff. Ghost Hunters of Appleton, if you want to look it up on Facebook. Otherwise, if you've had an encounter or anything that you'd like investigated, anything paranormal or Bigfoot or anything, for that matter, that's weird, send it to us, submit a report on our Facebook page, and it'll get directed towards the correct team member to work on it. Or if you want a certain team member to look at it, just put that in the notes there, and I'll make sure that it gets to them, because I basically get all that stuff sent to me. So, but I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode, Derek, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, definitely, man. We'll be back. We'll next time I'll see if I can get Fathom on with us, and we'll chat about our urban legend stuff.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, I didn't want to get too much into the Boy Scout Lane stuff, because I think that's a cool topic, and we'll come back to all the weird shit that happened out there. But what? Yeah. So. Yeah, for this episode, I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time, I'm Barnaby.
I'm Derek.
And we'll see you next time on Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society. Bye.
Hello.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's Wisconsin, CAPS.com. There you can find links to our YouTube and Facebook pages. You can also submit your sightings and encounters. And don't forget to check out our online store for t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you have had an encounter with something unexplained in or around Wisconsin, we would love to hear about it. You can send us an email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com or to submit an anonymous report, visit our website and click Report Your Encounter on the main page.